of work women here who have to work with unjust wages, but they do the work. And many women, and I will speak of the women here in the Netherlands, many of them are undocumented, which means they are not legal, but they stay on, they take the risk, they clean homes, they do whatever work they can to send money back to their families. And then, of course, when they're arrested and they're sent back, now they find other ways to go to other countries to continue working. And whether they're paid with low salaries or what, and many of them have been maltreated by their employers also. Also, there are women who will marry a man that they don't love to try to see if they can get out of the poverty situation in the Philippines. Sometimes the marriages work, sometimes they don't, and that's when the domestic violence occurs. During the time of pandemic, we know that the number of domestic violence has increased because what? People have to stay home, and there's no control of the tempers of the partners. That's actually, that's what I'm trying to say. If the economic situation had been better, women would not have left the country. And now the number of families living below the poverty line has grown. But also, I want to tell you the creativity and the inventiveness or the of women and men also. Because, for example, in farm areas, what they have done is idle lands, they have begun to cultivate it so that they would have food. Many places they don't have. Well, I'll speak specifically about Negros, but this is not only in Negros. In Negros, where there is the sugar industry, there are months that they call tiempo muerte, which is there's no work, so there's no salary, and so there's no they have to borrow money to buy food. The farm workers have started what they call the bungkalan. They go to the land that's not being tilled. They plant, they cultivate this land, so at least they have food and they can eat. And this is going on also in Central Luzon, in Mindanao. This is also happening. These are the economic ways that people are doing to survive because the government does not provide enough jobs. The government does not provide help for those who have economic problems. Politically, I think between Marcos and Duterte, women have become far more politicalized than ever. And these are not only those who are activists, but even ordinary women in households. They're more conscious, they're more aware of the exploitation they suffer, they're more aware that they have to resist. And this is growing every day. And I think it's because of the different situations that have happened from the time of Marcos to Duterte. And even now, there's a lot of resistance. People are, for example, the Aus Duterte move. People are, it's not only the activists calling that, but ordinary women or ordinary citizens are really getting fed up with the corruption, with the inability to manage the natural disasters, the killings, the extrajudicial killings of the drug-related and politically related. And people are saying, Aus Duterte, they want to change the situation. So that's economically, politically, there are changes in women. While the economic situation is going down, I can say the political level is going up, which is very good.
Who know of the My name is Lily. Thanks for tuning in to Radio Pawikan, 1 hour of Philippine radio where we find out about Filipino culture and everything in between and what that means. Thanks for tuning in to 97.5 MHz. This is Radio Laura. Stay tuned.
We've read that women organizations have tagged Duterte as a macho fascist president. Can you expound more on the characteristic of Duterte as such?
Well, he is very macho in the sense that, I don't know if the word is even macho, he looks down on women. You know, like the statements that he makes, the way he, for example, he has told his soldiers, when they fight women guerrillas, to shoot them in the vagina, because that's all they're good for. To shoot them where they can, they are no longer good for anything. That kind of mentality is sickening. So I don't know. It's a sick macho, and he has made many statements like that. So that's one. And then his fascist nature is, well, the way the drug killing, the way he allows his military and his policemen to just be rampant and kill anyone they want anyway, and always saying that these people were with drugs or suspected drug addicts, that the torture. Now, for example, in the countrysides, well, first of all, Duterte pays allegiance to the ambitions of China to have their business, more and more of their business in the Philippines. There are now 7 Chinese bases, military bases in the Philippines. So he is catering, and he is also a puppet of the United States. So, for example, mining companies from the US, from Canada, from Australia, want to mine in the mines in the Philippines, but they trespass on the land of the cultural minorities, the Lumads. And the Lumad people are striving to improve themselves. They have been able to build schools so that their children are not illiterate, so that their children will become educated. And what does Duterte do? His military has burned the schools, have occupied the schools. This is against international humanitarian law. And the right of children for education, he does not respect that. That is very fascistic. That's fascism. He uses his power to suppress the rights of the people more and more.
For you as an icon of the women's movement in the Philippines and has outlived a lot of administrations from the Marcos time up to the Duterte regime, who for you are the Filipino women who represent the Mariposas of Trujillo?
There are so many women that have inspired me and inspired other women, inspired the Filipino people. The first one I would say would be maybe Gabriela Silang. Her husband was a commander. They were fighting against the Spaniards. Her husband was killed in battle, and she took over as commander of the armed forces of her husband and fought against the Spaniards. It is in her honor that Gabriela, the largest women's organization in the Philippines today, is named after. Another one is the one I told you about is Maria Lorena Barros, Lori. I am fortunate to have met her because we were in the same detention center in Fort Bonifacio, in Ipil. I was there ahead, and then she was transferred from Southern Tagalog there, and I got to know her, and I got to admire her. She was really a fantastic woman. When she was very much in love with her husband, and when she would tell us how she missed him, and she was always so proud of him. And then one day she gets news that her husband surrendered. And this was a big blow on her, you know, like this idol of hers. And the husband was the commander in one of the forces of the NPA. Several months after her husband surrendered, Lori, together with five other political prisoners, were able to escape from Ipil. This was a big triumph, and everybody, really, all the activists applauded this great act of escaping. And Lori asked to be brought to the area where her husband had been commander, and she wanted to be a member of the New People's Army there. So this is what they did. And she worked her way until she herself became a commander. And in one of the encounters, she told the other NPA, you leave, you retreat, I will cover for you. She was there fighting so that the other NPA could escape, could retreat. She was wounded. And then there are many stories about how she was killed. But it seems that the lieutenant went up there to get him because she was wounded, and she tried to shoot him, and her gun jammed. And the legend is, the story is, she said, "You are lucky, my gun jammed." And as she was dying, she said, "Tell my mother I love her." Lori was the foundress of Makibaka. She became an outstanding member of the New People's Army. To me, she symbolizes the Filipino woman who stands up and fights for her country. Another one I'm thinking of, there are so many really, is Maria Luisa Poza, Luing Poza. Luing Poza was from Iloilo, and she was, I think, 17 or 16. Her two elder brothers became activists. And so she also joined and became an activist herself. I think she also became a member, eventually a member of Makibaka. Anyway, after several years, her brothers dropped out of the movement. But Luing stayed on in the movement and was arrested several times. She was able to escape. There was one time she was able to escape. Another time she was released. No, I think the first time, I'm not sure anymore, how many times she was in prison. I was also with her in prison in Ipil. And my memories of her was someone who was so determined to continue in the struggle. She was released then. She went back to the movement, got involved again in Iloilo. She got arrested. By that time, she had a daughter, and she was very sick. And because she was sick, she was released on humanitarian grounds. And then she did not go back to the mountains. She continued her work. She was doing work, especially in the field of human rights. And then several years ago, She was on her way home from Antique when her vehicle was stopped by the military. She and her companion were taken. The driver was just shot, but he did not die and he was left there. And Luing and her companion have disappeared. And there's no way that she left behind two daughters and her husband and the kasamas, the comrades that she left behind. I still mourn her death. And because she was such, you know, she was someone who wouldn't call attention to herself, but she was all the time giving, all the time working, all the time helping people. She was an example. So those are three people. There are many others I can think of, but let's keep it at three. Those are my three mariposas.
Thank you so much, Tita Connie. As a conclusion, do you have a message to tell our listeners in commemorating the November 25 as International Day Against Violence
Against Women? For me, women like the Mariposas, women like Gabriela Silang, Lori Barros, Luing Posa, Lilo Sa Ilaw, they are inspirations for us. They have led the way. They've taught us to stand up for our rights, to fight against oppression, to fight against injustice, to fight for a better world. And maybe for some of us, we feel, are we going anywhere? You know, but if we don't fight, if we don't work, if we don't continue the struggle, it's going to recede. It's going to be less. I remember there was a woman I met in Denmark several years ago, and she said, you know, when we were struggling and we were getting what we wanted, we thought we had gotten everything that we needed. So we stopped struggling. And what happens? We lost the gains that we had. So for us, we have to continue looking forward, looking at these women, looking at other examples, and we have to continue struggling, fighting, working with other women, working with men also, to fight for justice, for democracy, for a better life for all of us. And we actually, in the end, we're not fighting for ourselves anymore. We're fighting for the future generation. Because with us, at a certain point, it's over for us, but there are others who will follow us. Makibaka, huwag matakot. That means struggle, do not be afraid.
Thank you very much, Tita, for that very fitting parting word.
Okay, thank you also, Julie.
You have just heard an interview with Connie Ledesma, an activist from the Philippines and the current representative of the International Women's Alliance Europe. Until the next broadcast of Radyo Pawikan, here is Julie on the microphone. Padayon.
My name is Lily. Thanks for tuning in to Radyo Pawikan, 1 hour of Philippine radio where we find out about Filipino culture and everything in between and what that means. Thanks for tuning in to 97.5 MHz. This is Radio Laura. Stay tuned.
Pag kahilaga at silangan, kanluran, katimugan, milyong lakas at sinig pinagsibay ng kapatiran. Kumilos na ngayon ang bukas ay di na maghihintay. Katarungan, kalayaan, pagkakapansay, pantay. Ang pagbabago ay ating sinimulan, isang hakbang sa paninindigan. Harapin ang bukas ng may pagpapasya, kababaihan, makapangyari. Kababaihan, makapangyarihan.
Know what we're fighting for. He signed the terror law. He wants control. Duterte struck war, corruption ignored. His only defense, calling us terrorists. We're not the ones who should be criminalized. He's starving the people, taking innocent lives. Build the resistance, our people will. Defend the land, lumalaban. People on the streets, students fight, take back your education.
We're not the ones who should be criminalized. He's starving the people, taking innocent lives. Build the resistance, our people will rise. To defeat the fascist state,
people will rise. People will
Das politische, feministische, kulturelle und experimentelle Radio.